Turn your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter number 8. As we think of the baptism that's taking place today, we like to spend this time to review what God's Word has to say about baptism. Of course, today in much of Christianity, there is varying forms of baptism. There is infant baptism. There is adult baptismal regeneration amongst the denomination called the Christian Church or the Church of Christ. There is triune immersion amongst the Plymouth Brethren. There is pouring baptism amongst the Mennonites. And I suppose we could go on and on and on. There's the baptism for the dead amongst the Mormons, that they baptize for relatives and friends. That's why they have genealogical records, so that they can get baptized for you, and then you can go to one of their three heavens. I think you can only go to the third one. No, not the first one. But you have Catholic baptism that washes away original sin. You have Lutheran baptism by which you're born again. And I guess the list could go on and on, couldn't it? So as we think of the subject of baptism today, first of all, we want to talk about Bible baptism. Bible baptism. And that really is the only baptism there is. Did you know that? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Old evangelist Oliver B. Green, on his testimony, he'd tell you, he says, I got wet three times, but I only got baptized one time. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4, and verse number 5, it says there's one Lord, and there's one faith, and one baptism. Didn't say there's many different baptisms. There's only one baptism. And there's only one faith. Isn't Baptist faith, Lutheran faith, Catholic faith, Methodist faith, whatever kind of faith there is? No, the Bible says there's one faith. You know what that faith is? The one revealed by this book. And you know what? The Word of God is pure. There's no contradiction. No errors, no misstatements. The Word of God is pure from beginning to the end. It teaches only one truth, not many truths. Only teaches one set of truth, not many different sets of truth. So the Bible says there's one baptism. If you want to know the truth, then you're going to have to go to the Bible and find out what baptism is it that the Bible teaches. There are many other kinds of baptisms. There's many baptisms. In fact, the Jews in Jesus' day had 6,000 different kinds of baptisms. But the Bible tells us there's one baptism, not many. You can't have baptism that washes away original sin and baptism that caused you to be born again, and baptism that saves you, or baptism that is by sprinkling, or baptism by pouring, or baptism by immersion. You can't have all of them. There's only one baptism, Bible says. And so, in order to know what that is, you have to go to the Bible. You can't go to a catechism book. You can't go to a religion. You have to go to the Bible and see what the Bible says. And so as we think about that today, we want to emphasize that baptism is not made by man. There's only one baptism. That's the baptism that is declared in God's holy word. God's word teaches believers' baptism. God's word teaches believers' baptism. Acts chapter 8, the passage that we read this morning, and I don't know who conveniently figured this out, but of course the NIV and the other versions have conveniently left this verse out of the Bible. And if you go to your Bibles, some Bibles out there, like the NIV, you will go from verse 36 to verse 38, and there won't be a verse 37. And you'll have to ask yourself why they skipped a verse. I realize it's a little bit more, it's not that simplistic, but in reality it is. Philip was a soul winner, and he was led of the Lord to go to the south, to Gaza. Hear a lot about Gaza today. It was still a desert place. And there was a man who was a Gentile proselyte. He was a Gentile who turned from heathenism to believe that there was one God, the God of the Bible. And he had been in Jerusalem worshiping God, but he wasn't saved. And he is reading the Bible, he's reading the forbidden chapter for Orthodox Jews. He was reading Isaiah 53, the great chapter that talks about the crucifixion and the death of the Messiah. If you had time to read that, you ought to write that down and read that if you've never read that before. So amazing prophecy of the Lord Jesus and his death. And this is where this man is reading in the Bible. And Philip said, a very good leading question, do you understand what you read? And he said, no. No, I don't understand what I'm reading. And the Bible tells us he preached unto him Jesus. It was Jesus that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. It was the Lord Jesus that was like a sheep, dumb before his shearers. He went to the cross willingly to die for our sin. He was the Lamb of God that was given by God. And he declared unto him the full salvation purchased on the cross by Jesus Christ. And the man believed. He believed the message that Christ paid his penalty, that this was the promised Messiah. He believed. And I'm sure Peter preached more than preached after that he believed, began to teach him many other things in the Bible. And the Bible tells us, Verse 35 began, he opened his mouth and began the same scripture, Old Testament scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Obviously, he preached to him that after salvation, a person takes the mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ by water baptism. And Philip said, if, now that's condition, isn't it? There's a condition to being baptized. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. It's believer's baptism. If thou, you, not grand, what are the godparents? If you believe with all your heart, thou mayest. Believer's baptism. Your belief. What is a believer? That's a good question. What is a believer? Now you know there's two kinds of believers, don't you? There's the believer that's going to hell, and there's a believer that's going to heaven. You say, how can that be? Because there is intellectual belief that does not save a soul. There's a mental acceptance of the facts of Jesus Christ that will take no one out of hell. And the Bible tells us about that in James chapter number 2. James chapter 2. This was the kind of faith that I had before I was saved. I went to Sunday school, went to catechism, believed what they told me, but it was intellectual faith. It was believing the facts. It was not Bible faith. James chapter 2. It says, thou believest there is one God? Yeah, there's a lot of people who believe there's one God. That's right. That's one, right. Thou believest there's one God? Thou doest well. Yeah, that's right, because it's the truth. There's not many gods. There's not the God of the Muslims and the God of the Buddhists and the God of them. There's only one God, the God of the Bible. So there's one, thou doest well. He says, the devils also believe. You know what? The devil's more orthodox Christian than a lot of Christians today. The devil knows that Jesus was the creator of the universe. The devil knows that he left heaven to come to this earth to die for man's sin. The devil knows that he rose from the dead. The devil knows that he's coming back. And that he cast all the demons into hellfire forever and ever. The devil knows that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And they tremble at the fact of being thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever. But they aren't going to ever do anything about it. They're never going to do anything about it. They're never going to repent of their sin. They're never going to turn from their sin. They're never going to turn to Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive their sin and come into their life and save their soul. Yeah, there's a kind of belief that doesn't save. It's the intellectual belief. It's the belief of many people today who call themselves Christians. It's a belief of the facts. But that belief doesn't save. But there is a belief that does save. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. There's a belief that a person sees themselves as a sinner condemned, lost, on their way to hell, deservedly so. And there is a faith that believes that Christ died for them that will cause them to turn from their sin and to confess their sins and to turn to Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. And they will do something about it. They will get on their knees and they will repent and they will call upon Jesus Christ to be their Savior. The thief on the cross wasn't baptized, but the thief on the cross was saved. The thief on the cross believed on Jesus. Luke 23. Turn there quickly. Believers, baptism. He was a believer. What does it take to be a believer? Luke 23:39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? You're dying." How can you mock the Son of God when you're going to face eternity? How can you mock this man? And he said to Jesus, he said, "We indeed justly, we deserve to die. We're criminals. We've sinned. We receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man," that's Jesus, "hath done nothing amiss." And praise God, that is true. He was the sinless Son of God. He is the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And the Bible says, and he said to Jesus, "Lord, Lord." You know, for a lot of people, that's an empty word. And it was an empty word in my life and probably your life before you got saved too. It was a title. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, say those words. They meant nothing. Meant nothing. But this man's word meant something. It meant that he was tired of his wicked sin and running his own life. And he turned to Jesus. He said, "Lord, surrender, submission, Lord." I wonder, have you ever said "Lord" to Jesus Christ and meant it? Have you ever said "Lord" to Jesus Christ and meant it? You tired of going your own way? Maybe you're not tired of it. Maybe you haven't reaped enough sin. Results of sin. But this man was reaping the ultimate of his sin. He was going to die. But beyond that, he was going to face eternity. And he looked to Jesus and he said, "Lord." He meant it. It wasn't just words. You see, the devil will never say to Jesus, "Lord, I submit to you." He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." You're the only one that can save my soul and my sin and me from my sin. "Lord, remember me." He believed on Jesus Christ. A believer is one who has consciously seen themselves as a sinner and condemned because of their sin, have personally repented and put their total trust in Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary's cross and turned to Him. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Baptism is Bible baptism. Any other thing isn't baptism at all. Don't even confuse the subject. Sometimes we confuse the subject. We say, I was baptized as an infant. You were never baptized as an infant. That isn't baptism. You might add a few drops of water sprinkled on your head, but you never were baptized. Because there's only one kind of baptism, Bible baptism. Secondly, Bible baptism is believer's baptism. It's for those who have personally repented of their sin and turned from their sin and believed on Jesus Christ with all their heart. And can we add a little bit to it? It is for born again believers. Acts chapter number 10. And here Acts chapter 10 gives us the account of the gospel going to the Gentiles. That's us for the first time. And Peter is preaching to them about Jesus Christ. Verse 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And then he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. You know, I say it's born again believers. And this is illustrated in this passage of Scripture because, you know, when a person is saved, the Spirit, a Holy Spirit of God, comes to live within them. Wow. You know, I remember somebody very simply, a simple person who just got saved, said, you know what? When you accept Christ, God comes to live in you. Those are simple terms. Because the Holy Spirit is the third person of Trinity. And the Holy Spirit comes to live within you the moment you are truly saved. And, putting it in simple terms, if God comes to live within your life, guess what? You're not the same. If you want a simple explanation from a visible point, that's being born again. The Bible tells us that you receive a new birth by the Holy Spirit coming in. But it's believers' baptism. It's born again believers' baptism. Thirdly, it's disciples' baptism. Matthew 28. Before we go there, keep your finger there, but turn to John chapter 4 and verse number 4. John chapter 4, verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Now this was a side comment that was brought in the scripture, but the side comment was that Jesus realized, the Pharisees realized, that he, through his disciples, made and baptized more disciples than John. The word disciple is a follower. A committed follower of Jesus Christ. A committed follower of Jesus Christ. Baptism isn't a Baptist ritual. Bible baptism isn't magic. Bible baptism doesn't somehow make you holy. Because that's not what it's all about. Bible baptism is for disciples. It is the mark. It is the identification of a disciple. Jesus made and baptized more disciples. What is a disciple? How does a disciple differ from a believer? Well, first of all, you can't be a disciple unless you're a believer. But not all believers are disciples. What is a disciple? Luke chapter 14. There's a big chapter here on being a disciple. We'll read two verses, though. Verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse number 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple is a person who has decided to follow Jesus Christ, that is, obey Jesus Christ, no matter what it might cost. No matter what it might cost. Is every believer willing to do that? No. Should they? Yes. Is there a difference between a believer and a disciple? Yes. Baptism is for disciples. Those who have counted the cost to follow Jesus Christ. And you may be a believer today in Christ, you're born again, and praise the Lord. But yet, you might be struggling or contemplating right now, how much am I going to follow Jesus Christ? Am I really going to obey Him? When push comes to shove and it's going to cost me something? Am I going to obey Him when it might cost me a friend? Am I going to obey Him might cost me some criticism? Am I going to obey Him? Well, I might have to change some things in my life that aren't pleasing to God. Will I obey Him because the Bible says? Baptism is for disciples. It's for those who've counted the cost. Now, don't get me wrong. It does cost something to follow Jesus Christ. But the rewards always outweigh the cost. The reward always outweighs the cost. But the reward always comes by faith. By faith. Mark chapter 10. Peter was lamenting to the Lord that they had given up everything to follow him. Mark 10:28, then Peter began to say to him, Lord, we have left all and have followed thee. And they had. They left their career. They left their family. They left the acceptance of the Jews' religion. They left everything. And he says, we left all and followed you. And what did Jesus say? Jesus answered and said, verily, truly, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. You know, it does cost something to follow Jesus. It costs a little bit of pride. It costs a little bit of reproach. It does cost something. But the rewards, the blessings are far outweigh any cost. Baptism is Bible baptism. Baptism is believer's baptism. Baptism is disciples' baptism. Baptism is identification. I put it simply. There's plainclothes policemen, and there's uniformed policemen. They're both policemen. One is obviously identified as a policeman. The other one is no less a policeman. Baptism identifies you as a Christian. Doesn't make you a Christian. You must be a Christian ahead of time. You must have received Christ ahead of time. You must have been born again ahead of time. You must have ahead of time in your own heart made that decision. I am going to follow Jesus Christ no matter what. That's already done in your soul. It's already real. But baptism identifies you as such. Makes it public. Makes it public in the world. It brings with it expectation because now you've said something. You've said something about your faith. You've said something about your commitment. You've said something that can't be retracted. You have identified with Jesus Christ. You've identified with him. And so the Bible tells us that baptism is identification. Matthew 28 says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It identifies us with the Trinity. Do you realize what a costly doctrine that was in the days of the New Testament? To believe in the Son of God, to say that he was the second person of the Godhead, was to identify yourself clearly, publicly, with Jesus Christ and the truth. The Bible says, Acts chapter 2, it says, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." They were added to the church at Jerusalem. They were identified with the people of God and a church that stood for the truth. It identifies us with something concrete. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that we are baptized in identification with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It identifies us with a Savior who died for our sin. It identifies with a Savior who rose from the dead. And the practical application is that there's an identification that our old life is gone. And the world can expect that we will be living that new life that we got and only can have in Jesus Christ, a resurrection. It's identification. You know, there's only one baptism, Bible baptism. That's the only baptism there is. But it's not for everybody. It's only for believers. It's only for believers. That baptism is the mark of a disciple. It's for disciples. That baptism clearly points one out, identifies one unashamedly as a follower of Jesus Christ. Throughout history, Bible baptism has been a point of controversy. It has been a point of persecution. Millions have died on the basis of what the Bible says versus what religion says. And even today, when baptism is not just become something you do, but something that you mean, is very distinct. It's not just something you decide to do. It is the focus of a huge decision about what we will be, what we will do, and how we will identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. It isn't something you do over and over. In that sense, it's an identification once for life. And in that sense, that's why it's so significant. Unsaved people, they look at the Bible. They say, "Whoa, look at that. That must be really important. That must wash away your sins." No. Only the blood of Jesus Christ washes away sin, not water. But unsaved people, they look at baptism and they say, "Whoa, boy, that must be important." Well, you know what is important? But unless you're saved, you don't know what it means. Got to get saved first. You could get dunked under the water 15 times, and I guarantee you, it wouldn't wash away one sin. Not one. And you could get dunked out of the water 20 times. And I guarantee you, it won't make you any more holy. You might even get sick. Although, there's never been anybody got sick getting baptized that I know. But baptism is Bible baptism. And it is important. It isn't to be minimized, because it is important. But it is important because of what must be preceded in a person's life. They have to be saved. They have to be genuinely committed to follow Jesus Christ as his disciple for the rest of their life. It is important. It is a tremendous testimony to a world that there is still a God out there that is alive, that changes people's lives, and people are glad to follow him no matter what, because he is so good. And we rejoice in what God is doing in those who are following the Lord in believers' baptism. Perhaps you're here today. You haven't begun the journey. You need to get saved. Believing the facts won't get you to heaven. Saying the catechism won't get you to heaven. Going through confirmation won't get you to heaven. You have to do something about the facts. Have to repent of your sin. Have to repent of running your own life and turn to Jesus Christ as the Savior who died for all your sins and come to him lost, broken, and he will gladly save you. And it will be at an instant of time that you come to him and you'll be born again, never to be the same ever again. And God will do it. Wonderful thing to be saved. Perhaps you're here and you're saved, and you're so thankful you're saved. You know it's a miracle to be saved? Isn't that great? But God's dealing with your life. You know there's a big issue of your life. Is Jesus going to be your Lord? You're going to surrender him as your Lord? You're going to say, Lord, I know you're a good God. I know you can trust you with my life, Lord. I really want to surrender to you with my life. That's an important decision. Only believers can make that. But you need to make that decision. Lord, here's my life. I surrender to you. I want to follow you no matter what. That's an important decision. Maybe you're getting close to that. I encourage you. I remember the day, May 1969. I said, Lord, whatever you want with my life, here's my life. I was saved October 31st, the year before, but May of 1969, I said, Lord, here's my life. I meant it. Wonderful day. Perhaps you're here today. God is working in your life. And maybe even today, you've been baptized already, and the Lord is reminding you of your commitment to Christ. We forget sometimes, don't we? Reminding you that you took that brand of Christ to follow him. And maybe you've let some sin in your life, and your heart has got a little bit cold. And you need to rehearse in your mind and get back to where you were for the Lord's sake and your own. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the truth of the Bible. It's clear, it's plain, simple. No mystery about it. Anyone could understand it who would want to. And I pray that, Lord, that you would work. I pray, Lord, for those not yet come to Christ. Lord, oh, I pray. They'd come to the end of themselves and they would come to the place of surrender, submission, and they'd come to you with their sin for forgiveness, for a new heart, for a new life, and receiving Christ as their Savior. Oh, God, help them. I pray that you'd help everyone who is saved and contemplating what to do with this new life and this wonderful Savior, that, Lord, that you will help lead them to that place where they say, Lord, I'm going to follow you no matter what. You're worth following. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Lord, help them. And I pray, Lord, those who have been baptized, Lord, that we would be reminded of what we told the world about our commitment to Jesus Christ. And may our thoughts be rekindled as to what we have decided is most important in life. And Lord, I pray you bless those even this day who are ready to follow you and make that commitment, make that declaration of the commitment they've already made. Pray your name would be glorified. Pray for others who even this day ought to come to that place of decision. We don't want, Lord, anything that's just a ritual, just doing it because, but something that's, Lord, that you've done in the heart. And now, Lord, bless these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.